So this will be a kind of a short sermon, but it'll be a very important sermon, appreciating the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ personally established his church. I got three personallys here, personally, and I got kind of choked up studying this, and I realized personally, the Lord Jesus Christ personally set up the church while he was here on earth. Now, the word church, ecclesia, means the assembly. So the first church was the apostles. I'm going to read to you how much prayer Christ put into it before he called his apostles. And by the way, for us preachers, the first pastor of the church was the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll never reach the standard he set. That's the standard we ought to try to set. Isn't that good? My friend, this is not the Lions Club. This is not the Aquinas Club. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of difference. It's a wonderful place. Jesus Christ personally set up the church. Let me read you about that. Over in Luke chapter 6, verse 11 through 13, I think it is here. This is how much time he put into it and effort he put into it and how important it was to our Savior before he set the church up. We'll read this over in Luke 6, beginning verse 12. And it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He's talking to his Father about something very important. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ personally set up the church. He also personally promised to build his church and to guarantee its perpetuity. My friend, the church will be on this earth when Christ comes again. I think the world's going to get increasingly worse. I think the Bible teaches that, but my friend, and the church will be persecuted. She has been in the past. She is now lots of places, but she will survive till the end of the age because the perpetuity of the church is guaranteed by Jesus Christ, and Christ builds his church. He uses ministers and others to help build it. He's the wise master builder. Thank God. Let's look over in Matthew 16:18. He's talking to Peter here. Our Savior personally guaranteeing to build up his church. See, she has not gone out of existence. Sometimes it seems like she will. In certain places, she has gone out of existence. Sometimes it seems like, well, the world's getting so bad and Christians are getting so weak and so low in number, we're going to go out of existence. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Our Savior speaking here in Matthew 16:18, I say unto thee, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock, and he's not talking about Peter, he's talking about the Lord, Jesus Christ. I will build my church. I'm going to edify my church. I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let the devil throw at it all he wants to. And there'll be a lot of martyrs, but they'll die triumphant deaths. My friend, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we're under commission. The church has got a mission. You're part of that mission. So let me read you part of your mission. The last message our Savior gave his church before he ascended up on high. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, going through verse 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, he's talking to the church of Jesus Christ, the ministers do the preaching. They're the executive of the church, you might say, or I don't know what you'd call them, but they're the ones that do the preaching. But brother, the whole church has this mission. Go ye therefore and teach in all nations, baptizing them. We're going to do so that today by God's grace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then when they get in there, you don't just say, well, you're a church member now. See you later. We don't do that. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's our job. It's to preach the gospel of Christ, educate people on what God wants them to do. And look at this promise. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, the end of the age. Isn't that wonderful? So, my friend, I'm glad to be a part of that. Are you? I'm glad I can say, I thank God I have been doing what my forefathers did from the apostles on down to this present time. Hallelujah. What a blessing and an honor that is. All right. The church, my precious friend, this is my third personal. He personally set his church up. He personally going to build her up. He personally guarantees her perpetuity. He personally poured out the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost to the church, and the Holy Ghost is still with us. That Holy Spirit came, but guess where it came from? Christ, my friend, poured out his Spirit on the church on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost is still with God's church today. We know on Pentecost what happened there. I won't read that to you. The great thing that happened on Pentecost. But I want to read to you about why I got there. Peter's preaching to them this amazing thing that happened on Pentecost. And let me see here. I don't know where I got that down. I'm going to turn and read that. I had my notes of thought. Look over at Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Acts 2, 33. Oh, what a day that was. 5,000 added to the church that day. Of every kind of language group, every kind of nationality, right there in Jerusalem where Christ had been persecuted and crucified. So the Holy Spirit comes, this amazing demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But why did the Holy Spirit come? Who, my friend, sent the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. I don't turn to Pentecostal on these, did I reckon? I can't say happy to him, hallelujah. I love the Lord so much. Praise the God Almighty. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ that set his church up. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ who perpetuated his church. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ who sent the Holy Ghost to the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Peter telling you what's happening now. Well, what's going on, the people saying? Man, the Holy Ghost is moving around here. The gospel is coming to great power. People are repenting of their sin, getting baptized. What a day this is. What brought this on? Acts 2, 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Hallelujah. That's what's happening, he said. You know where Jesus Christ is today? He's the right hand of God. He is standing up on heaven, my friend. He's stepped out at God's right hand. He's still right there, ruling this world, and especially ruling his church and empowering his church. We can have confidence, my friend. We can take on all foes because we're on the side of God and there's victory in Jesus Christ. Don't you forget that. You know, it's kind of easy to get pessimistic in the world we live in today, isn't it? I listened to a man the other day that talked about they're more pessimistic than they've ever been. People are so, especially precious young girls, because they're emotional anyway, and boys too, though. What do you expect? We think, well, the future's ruined because of environmentalism. We're burning the world up. So we have no future. We ain't got any past because we're a racist society. They're, of course, they're lying about all this. Nothing to look forward to. Don't you be in that crowd of pessimists, folks. Be in the crowd of the super duper, I'm going to say optimist, I say realist. That's even better than optimism. Realist! We are on a mission, a holy mission. And God promised to sustain us in that mission till he comes again. I want to be a small part of that, and I hope you do too. All right. Now, my dear friends, the church is a very important institution. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. That's why you need to know your Bibles. I was really glad one time, and even David Powell, the smart as he is, and he's a brilliant man and a very spiritual man. I love him. But one time he was preaching here, and one of my members came up and challenged him. She really misunderstood him. She challenged him in a respectful way. You think that offended David? He said, man, that made me feel great. Somebody is listening. Somebody's reading their Bibles. Somebody knows something. You be in the Word of God, people. I'm not a priest. I'm a preacher. You're responsible to know the Word of God. I'm glad the mothers and daddies in our church are trying to teach their children the Bible, keep it up, and even step it up a notch. You all be reading your Word of God, all of you. Don't be lazy. Have you been lazy this week in reading the Word of God? You're all responsible to defend the truth, my friend. To perpetuate the truth. We all are together. We don't have a bunch of people. This is not a performance that Zach gets in performing today. My friend, we all know the Word of God. In fact, you all know it so well. If I mess up, you'll know about it. You need to be like the noble Bereans. They search the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. They didn't take the apostles' word for it. You don't take my word for it. You make sure I come out of the Word of God. So far, I've been out of the Word of God today, haven't I? Got a whole list of scriptures here. That's what I want to do. Don't you get a preacher that's not coming out of the Word of God. My friend, we ought to be bleeding Bible every time somebody cuts us. All right, here's how important the church is, the pillar and ground of the truth. Don't ever hold the church in low esteem. We're despised by the world. Now, I'm not being a paranoid. Nobody just saying, Zach, you're a terrible person. But I tell you, generally speaking, the world despises people that love the Lord Jesus Christ in simplicity. We don't have a high church liturgy and a lot of fancy stuff. Just singing and preaching and praying and fellowshipping and loving the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the church of Jesus Christ has always been that way. But he's always been despised by the elite and the prideful of this world. Don't ever let that get you. Thank God, my friend, you can be counted worthy to suffer shame if you have to for his sake. You young people listen to me. Old people too, I hope. And even middle-aged folks, you listen too. All right, 1 Timothy 3:15. Talking to Timothy, the great apostle. If I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou hast to behave thyself in the house of God, who is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You ought to feel honored to be a member of that institution that Christ set up, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I want to say this, and I can't overemphasize this. I won't be able to say it good enough. I know I'm going to do the best I can, and I hope the Lord will add some Holy Ghost to it, and you'll get ready to get it. My friend, the church is assembled. It's a glorious place to be. Don't ever come to church and say, I'm bored. Never. I don't really want to be there. I'm just there because of duty. No, the church of Jesus Christ is a glorious place for you to assemble. Far beyond what we can even imagine. I'm just going to give a few scriptures. This has got to be a kind of a short sermon. We got a baptizing. But I, my friend, if I were to elaborate on this point, we could be here a long time. It's a blessed and wonderful thing when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ meets. Somebody already prayed today. I think it was Jefferson. That have promised to be with where two or three are met together. Who's there? Tell me who's there. Jesus Christ, I'm there also. You believe that? You know, Revelation, the churches of Asia, those seven churches, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going among them with that robe. He's walking among the seven churches. Sometimes I can feel the rustling of his robe as the Savior is here. You ever feel that way? My friend, in the spirit, the Son of God is with the church of Jesus Christ when she meets. How we ought to hold her in high esteem and be alert and spiritual. Now, you are. I'm not fussing at you today. What a song service we had. Hallelujah. He deserves all that and more. All that and more. He deserves your attention when the scriptures are being preached. Hope your hearts leap with joy when I read the Word of God. Because when you're born again, God wrote his word in your heart. Your heart ought to leap for joy when you hear the scriptures quoted. Say, hallelujah. Identify that. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. We need the Holy Spirit. We're desperate for the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit. Our songwriter was right. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Let me tell you how great, just a few scriptures, on what amazing when the Church of Jesus Christ come together. Two or three scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 20. This is what happens when we come together. You know, really, if I were to go to Ephesians 3:10, I won't. Angels are here today. That's the truth. You believe that? Well, you've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to believe it. I'm not going to preach on that today. My friend, angels are in attendance for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ meets. You don't see an angel watching you mess around your cell phone, do you? Hint, hint for some people. You know, the angels are watching you, my friend, when you're goofing off and just kind of there in body but not really in mind. We do not want to be of those kind of people that when the Lord Jesus Christ said, this people draweth nigh me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want those kind of people. We want our hearts to be in the service of Jesus Christ. We want to love him of our mind and soul and strength and might, don't we? But we're sinners, aren't we? So we need help, don't we? So I'm not going to be unrealistic. We do have trouble struggling with stuff like that. But let's say God, the flesh is willing, but the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm trying to preach the truth to you. Oh, what a celebration. We come together. I love what Sister Sharon Whitford said. She had a wonderful young sister. She's not young anymore, but she was young at one time, just like all of us were young at one time. And so she fell by the wayside for a while. And God gave her a revival in her heart. And she had joined the church in Chicago. And I was up there preaching. And she said, "Oh, Brother Zach, when God brought me back to the church, I get so excited when Sunday comes. And like I used to feel, I'm going on a date." Hallelujah. Well, you're going on a date with Jesus Christ. You ought to get excited. Put your best on. Put your best clothes on. Put your best spiritual clothes on. I'm meeting the Son of God today in a special way. Because he does meet with his church in a special way. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. He's everywhere. I'm not present. But my friend, he chooses to reside in the church of the living God in a special way. Look at Ephesians 2:20. "And are built," that's us, "upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building," that's us, "fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple of the Lord." We're a temple of God today. "In whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Ha! Man, that's good, isn't it? We're built together for an habitation of God. God chose to reside here in a special way. That's what he did, you know, in the tabernacle. Oh, God's everywhere. But in the tabernacle, he's in a special way. This is a kind of glory. That was called the house of God in the Old Testament. Later on, the temple is called the house of God. Guess what? God dwelt in the temple in a special way. And now, my friend, the New Testament church is the house of God. I read it to you, 1 Timothy 3:15. So God, from time to time, dwells with his people in a special way. We ought to pray that he'll do that. I like to pray, "God, we ain't seen anything yet." I shouldn't have said "ain't." That's not good English, is it? Ain't no such word as "ain't," they say. My friend, we need to be praying for God to pour himself out and show us his glory and majesty in a special way. We ought to be always praying for an infilling and a pouring out of the precious Holy Spirit in our private lives, in our family lives, but especially, my friend, in our church lives. Okay, let me read you another scripture about that, about what happens when we meet. 1 Peter 2:5. "Ye also as lively stones, living stones," you're a living stone if you're born again. We're not just a pile of rocks either. What good is it going to be if I had a pile of stones over here? What's a pile of, we're not just a pile of stones. We're stones made and fit together by Christ the Master Builder. Great Chapel is a place like that. You fitting in pretty good? Let me tell you what the Lord did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when they built the temple, there's not a sound of a hammer and chisel on the temple site. You know why? God got all the stones ready before he put them together. That's why we have only regenerate church membership. God knocks the rough edges off and puts us together and builds us. And my friends, we're a church of Jesus Christ, which we are. God has placed you in this church as a member as it pleases him. I ain't got time to preach Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, which I did. We're a body. Well, we're building lots of beautiful stories in the Bible about what we really are. You're not just some individual. When Corinne joined the church today, she's not just some individual. If you're just like an individual, you're wrong. You're not all Thomas. When I got married, I gave up some of my freedom. I really gained freedom when you get right down to it. I gave up my freedom. I had to be, you know, I can't go everywhere I want to go. I got to be with my wife and I want to be. But I did, in one sense, give up some of my freedom. When you join the Church of Jesus Christ, if you do it right, you give up some of your freedom. You say, "I'm responsible to the people in the Church of Jesus Christ and how I live. What I do hurts the whole body. When I'm good, it helps the body. When I'm bad, it hurts the body. I want to be helpful. I want to find something to do." We do a lot of that here at Great Chapel. I'm not fussing again, but I want to encourage you to do much better. We can't overdo it. The Church of Jesus Christ is a beautiful place to be. We're a support group. A family is a support group. The church is a family. We're a support group. We support each other. I think I told you this not long ago. I know I did. About the special love we ought to have for each other. Jesus Christ, talking to his disciples in John 13:34, says, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have loved one to another." When I was going to college and I was a graduate assistant getting my master's degree, and I had a teaching assistant with my buddy. He was not even born again man yet. I hope he is today. The guy named Phil Hewitt. My daddy died. Old Phil came to the funeral home. He saw my friends, my church friends, how they comforted me. And all, even people who are not born again comfort each other. They try to. But he just blew him out of the water and said, "Zach, I've never seen such love as this. I've never seen such love." May that be our attribute of our church. People say, "Oh, rotten sinners." We're all rotten sinners. Well, people always feel, listen, Christ, my friend, a friend of publicans and sinners, we have to be too. That means we keep them in their sin. We try to help them get out of their sin. We're friends of publicans and sinners. Tony Machiavelli used to say, the church is sinners anonymous. That's what we are. Trying to keep each other on the straight and narrow. All right. Now, here's what I want to do is finish with this. My friend, we should, because of all these things I've talked about, deeply love, respect, be faithful to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will repeat that. May we be afresh, may we freshen ourselves in this today. Have a kind of a personal revival. That's what I want. We should deeply love, respect, be faithful and loyal to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read Old Testament scriptures. The church did not exist in the Old Testament. That's a different situation. But since the church is the house of God, some of the scriptures in the Old Testament that mention the house of God, we can draw some lessons from that, right? So these will be all from the Psalms, three Psalms. I'll be through. Listen to this. We'll have a lot of respect when we come to the house of God. That doesn't mean we're stuffed shirts. That doesn't mean we're not joyful. We are joyful. But we're also respectful. Let me read you a scripture. Psalm 89, verse 7. God is greatly to be feared. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence, all of them that are about him. That's why, and I mentioned why I go about cell phones. I was going to preach on it. I won't preach a whole sermon on cell phones. I know some of our members, I can't judge you because sometimes you may be looking at the Bible. If you're texting during service, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's a blasphemy before God. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to take that back. We're on holy ground. It's not a place to be messing around with your friends and goofing off and joking and carrying on. That's not the place for it. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Two more, I'll be through. Okay, maybe three. Old Baptist preacher always do that. Okay, here we go. Look, I love this scripture. Three times, I love this scripture. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing. Okay, priority. We got a lot of things to do, haven't we? A lot of things that demand our attention and our time, right? One thing, have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. If you really want something, you're going to seek after it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? All the days of my life, Corrine, and all the rest of us. All the days of my life. And to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Now, I know God's beauty is everywhere, even in nature. But my friend, in a special way, God shows his beauty in the church of Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you again. Let that be one of your themes. Take that home with you, okay? Take the whole sermon home, but if you just can't get the whole thing in your little bucket, put this one right there and take this home. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, to behold the beauty. We see his beauty here, don't we? Lord, show us more of your beauty. He got a lot of beauty he had never shown us yet, probably. He's more beautiful than you can imagine. The Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys. Amazing how beautiful Christ is. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Now, two Psalms, and I'll be through. Both of 84. Two verses of Psalm 84. Now, I'm just hitting the highlights. I mean, the Bible's full of this kind of thing. Verse 2. My soul longeth, yet even fainteth, the courts of the Lord. My heart, and my flesh crieth out the living God. And if you read that psalm, he means in the house of God. Let's read that again. If that's not with you today, let Lord give us a spiritual appetite for you. Like I say, I know we're sinners. The flesh lusts against the flesh. The spirit against the spirit. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary, the one to the other. You cannot do the things you would. I know we have struggles. I'm not unrealistic. But I want to long for God's people I know a lot of people who are almost at the point of death, hurting real bad. But they came to the Church of Jesus and God. They wanted to be in the assembly. They wanted to be the saints. Jim Reynolds was that way. My dear friend who died of liver cancer here less than a year ago. The last thing I saw him was at Ripley at the men's meeting. He wanted to be of the saints. He looked like death warmed over because he was death warmed over. But my boy sat beside him and said, Daddy, you should have seen the gleam in his eye and the smile on his face when y'all were singing. And he still remember, his wife still remembered what Timothy said, Jim, if I don't see you again, I'll see you in glory. That's where he wanted to be. He looked real bad. He looked terrible. He was a handsome man, but oh, he looked awful. That old liver cancer got him. But he didn't care how he looked. I want to be where the saints are. Now, my final verse is over in Psalm 84, verse 10. I hope you all have good careers, young people. I hope God bless you well. I hope he'll bless you with a good standard of living, all that. Hope he'll bless you, a good friend. But let me tell you something. This is still true today over in Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand that mean without. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. God, let me just be a doorkeeper in your kingdom. We got a lot of good old doorkeepers at Grace Chapel. People are not trying to... Listen, we really get in a mess. We want people to serve us. We ought to want to serve each other. I want to be a doorkeeper. Well, may God bless you. My friend, let's appreciate the Church of the Living God.